Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 17. It's on page 984 of the Red Bibles. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you, and it's a real privilege to be here with you. I have, for the few years that I've been in Salisbury, been in your various rooms out this way with ministers' gatherings, and only poked my head through into this building a couple of times to admire its beauty. So this is my first time to be here for a service, and it's a privilege to have been invited. Thank you, Jean, for inviting me. And it was a joy to be at the first service, a new experience for me, and it's a privilege to be with you for this one also. Let me jump straight into the message, if I can, this morning. The reading we've just had is the transfiguration of Jesus. I don't know if that seems a bit loud to me, if we could. The picture, the story we've just had is a wonderful picture of Jesus' transfiguration. And I wonder if you can join me with the story and try to picture it as if you were there. We have Jesus bringing his disciples, the three, up onto the mountain. And there before them, he is transfigured. We're told his face shone like the light. Well, I mean, that in itself must have been amazing for the disciples to see how Jesus has changed. And then the next thing we're told is there's 2 others with him. I've no idea how they really worked that out. I've not managed to find somewhere that tells me, but somehow or other Peter knows that it's Moses and it's Elijah that's there with Jesus. What an amazing scene. And you might say, well, why Moses and Elijah? Well, there was a reason for Moses and Elijah being there. Moses was there who he represented the law. The law was given through Moses. And indeed, he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, and within that it would have pointed to Jesus. There is one coming. There is a Savior coming, appointed to Jesus. Then we had Elijah, who represents the prophets. And of course, the prophets are there, God's people, to speak forth prophecies, and part of that was to prophesy about, again, Jesus coming. Now we have Jesus who has come, and he is there to fulfill those prophecies, to fulfill the law, and there they are gathered together on this mountain with Jesus transfigured before them. What a scene, as the disciples witnessed. No wonder Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let me put up 3 shelters because we want to stay here. This is so good. We want to stay here in this place. We want to stay here in this atmosphere because this is a really good place to be." And then in the midst of that, we hear the Father's voice. A voice from heaven comes as the Father's voice speaks into that situation and says, "This is my Son, whom I love, who I'm well pleased with. Listen to him." Other translations put that in, but it's slightly different. It says, "Hear him. Hear him." And that's my message today. And if you forget everything else, and you may well do, just try to remember those 2 words. Hear him. That's the message today. Hear him. Now, I don't know about you, but when God speaks, it tends to be significant. In times like this, when God's audible voice just speaks in, we had it at Mount Sinai when God spoke, and affirms the laws that's been given. We have here God speaking, the Father's voice is speaking. We want to take notice of what he's saying. And he's affirming who Jesus is. Just as he affirmed the law, here he is affirming who Jesus is. He is my son, whom I'm well pleased with. And eventually saying the instruction is, hear him, listen to him, hear him. Now, I don't know, but if you can try to imagine what way God, the Father, might have spoke that, it's probably impossible for us to do, but try, play with me if you like. Indulge me. If God was speaking that today, would he say, hear him? Or would he say, hear him? In other words, which would he emphasize? Would he emphasize the him or the here? Well, if I explore that with you, him is, of course, Jesus. It's his son. And in this moment, we're getting to see a glimpse, along with the disciples, a glimpse of the glory of Jesus, a glimpse of his majesty, a glimpse of who he really is. He is the Son of God. His deity is being confirmed here. The long-awaited Messiah has come. The Christ has come. The Anointed One has come. He is God in the flesh, come with the sole purpose of seeking and saving that which was lost. Come with the sole purpose of dying on the cross for both you and for me. Today we use a phrase very often, I'm dying to meet so-and-so, especially if it's a celebrity or maybe a long-lost friend. But let me tell you, Jesus is the only one who died to meet you. He died on the cross that that barrier between you and God might be broken, that the way to him is open through the forgiveness of your sins, that you might meet him. And here's a revelation on this mountaintop about who Jesus really is. Hear him, Jesus. You need that revelation. The disciples needed that revelation. We need that revelation of who he really is. But once we have that revelation of who him is, who Jesus is, well, then it's equally as important that we hear him. We need to hear what Jesus says. You see, the revelation of who him is, of who Jesus is, escalates the importance of what he says. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. He has come. We need to hear him. And so I think it wasn't just an emphasis on one word, it was an emphasis on both words. Hear him. It's a message that's consistent in our New Testament. If you look at the story, and I think in a few weeks' time, you're going to be looking through the various I am sayings in the Gospel of John, and one of them is Jesus and the Good Shepherd. And in that story, we have Jesus who's pointing out in that story in John chapter 10, and he's revealing to the Pharisees then that my sheep know my voice. So when he as a shepherd comes into that pen, a communal pen, where there's lots of sheep there, he's saying, my sheep know my voice and they will follow me. So as he goes and picture that scenario of a sheep pen, it's a communal one to keep the sheep safe. There's lots of different sheep from lots of different shepherds. And Jesus said, when I'm going in there, my sheep will know my voice. And when I go out, my sheep will follow me. They're not going to follow a stranger, because they don't know that stranger, but they will follow me. Why? Because they know my voice. And because they know my voice, they will listen to me. They will follow me. What a wonderful picture we get in there of Jesus leading. He's not behind us, herding us out. He's in front of us, leading us. And of course, where does he lead us? He leads us. You think of Psalm 23, that wonderful picture of the Good Shepherd. And Jesus, leads us to where? To green pasture. He provides for us. The shepherd, the Good Shepherd, is going to provide for us. He leads us to good places. So we follow him. You see, when we listen, we follow. When we hear, the natural response is to obey. But we need to hear him. We need to hear him. Jesus in Matthew 11, and as constant as the Gospels, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When speaking on some of the major themes, Jesus on love, speaking out what was the greatest commandment, he says, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel." He begins with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's a lot of love, isn't it? This is the first commandment. But he begins it by saying, "Hear, O Israel," you need to hear this. When speaking about faith, Paul in Romans 10 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Jesus repeatedly asks, why didn't they hear his word? Hearing what God is saying is of central importance all the way through our New Testament. The writer to Hebrews begins his letter by saying, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God has spoken to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God is still speaking to us today by his Son. He is still speaking and we need to hear him. I don't know what your experience is, but my experience is sometimes it can be hard. It can be difficult. And I want to explore just a few thoughts of why that might be so. Sometimes stuff has come into our lives that hardens our hearts, that stops us being able to hear. Again, in Hebrews, if I stay there for just a moment longer, in chapter 3, the writer says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion." And in that situation, he is talking back to the day when Moses brought the children of Israel out of the desert. They're in the desert, they're wandering around, but they have rebelled against God. They are no longer hearing him, and sin has entered into their lives. They've rebelled. And because of that, they don't enter into the promised land that God has for them. You probably know the story well. Sin can enter our hearts and harden our hearts. Life, stuff happens to us. We all go through stuff, and it can harden our hearts. It can cause us to be hard toward him and not hear him. If that's the case, we need to deal with that in our lives so that we can begin to hear him again. Think of the children of Israel. They missed their destiny in God because they hardened their hearts. I always read that portion of Scripture with great sadness and think, what would it have been like if they didn't harden their hearts? If at the first time of asking, they went into the promised land, what would it have been like? We don't know, of course. But how sad today if we repeat the same mistake and harden our hearts. Don't hear the Lord speaking to us. We don't fulfill the purpose for which God has called us to. In our lives today, often we are too busy. We all lead busy lives. This morning as I'm coming to this service, there's lots of little ones around, which is beautiful to see. But somehow or other, they tend to make you busy. Very busy. This morning I thought, well, there might have been more grandparents that felt the busyness of the little ones than it might be parents, but never mind. Wherever we are, there's always something in our lives that causes us to be busy. A few months back, we had a family reunion, and back in Ireland, I know you were struggling to know, you thought I was from here, didn't you? And it's a revelation. I'm Irish, because my wife tells me I've lost my Irish accent. She's from not far from here, and she tells me I've lost my Irish accent. I hope by that laugh, that means you think I haven't, and that just makes me happy for the whole day today, especially as the Six Nations comes next. We won't go there. But we gathered as a big family. I've got a sister and her husband and kids from over, she's over here as well. And I have another sister and her husband and now three kids in America. My brother is still in Ireland. He's the only one that stayed there. And we gathered together for this special family celebration. And those of us who traveled were all together. I don't know how yet, but we were all together in my parents' house. The playroom turns into a bedroom. The sitting room turns into a bed. You can imagine there's six kids visiting. There's another four across. So there's lots of children around, the youngest of which is 18 months old. And he goes to bed a lot earlier than the rest of us. So my sister had this I think it was the app on her phone, some of you may begin to now nod as you might know better than me, that created what she called was a white noise app. Yeah, she does nods. The white noise app. So she would play this in his room. If you've never seen it or heard it, I hadn't before then. She put it in his room and it would create this noise in the background, just like this constant noise. I thought it was quite loud. I thought, he's never going to sleep. He's only 18 months old. He's going to be distracted. But no, it worked a treat. And because of this white noise in the background meant that the rest of the house, and I don't mean the teenagers, there was the adults making noise, they didn't seem to hear. He didn't seem to get disturbed by that. He would sleep generally the whole time through. It was an amazing thing. Sometimes in our lives, there's too much white noise, and it stops us hearing him. And we need to turn off. We need to be deliberately turning off that white noise, whatever that might look like for you, but it's turning off the white noise so that you can hear him, that you've got that quiet space, that you've got that place where you go to, where you can turn that off. How you manage that, that's God to show you so that you can hear him. But don't let too much white noise in your life stop you from hearing him. Be deliberate. Think of the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. Mary's at Jesus' feet. Martha's busy working her way. And of course, she gets upset. She's doing all the work. And look at Mary. And she goes and tells Jesus, this is not fair. And Jesus says, no. This one thing that Mary has chose to do, which was to listen to Jesus, it will not be taken away from her. You see, sometimes it's good to stop. There might be lots of good things we can be doing, but sometimes it's good just to stop. To spend time at his feet that we might hear him. Sometimes we don't hear him because we don't, if we're really honest, value hearing him. We don't put any priority. We think, yes, that's a good idea, but we don't really value it. We don't really value. I remember the saying from years back that we value what we do and we do what we value. If we're not doing it, it's because we probably don't really value it. If we value Jesus and hearing him, we'll make time. Maybe we don't value because we don't have an expectation. Maybe we don't have an expectation that we're really going to hear from God. Whether it's in our quiet times or whether it's in church or any other time, we don't really have that heightened expectation that we're going to hear from God. I'm always trying to encourage our people, come with that expectation that we might hear God together. It's not just my job or those in the platform to hear God. We can all hear God. Come with that expectation that God might want to speak to you. When you open your Bible, have that expectation that God wants to speak to you through his word. Some of us might not have that expectation because we have fear in our lives. I remember somebody saying to me once, many years ago now, I don't want to hear from God in case he tells me to do what he's told you to do. In other words, at that point, it was to go into ministry, to become a pastor. And I thought, well, I'm very happy that God told me to do that. Why are you upset about that? But it was a real fear that was being revealed at that point. I have a real fear of what God might call me to do if I hear his voice. And beneath that fear is a lack of trust. I don't trust that he has got the best interest. He's got the best for me. I don't trust that he loves me beyond everything that could ever be loved. I don't trust that when he calls me to do something, that's the best thing for me to do. I don't trust that his ideas are better than my ideas. Do you fear? Maybe you think, well, actually, and it happened to me before, somebody said to me, well, I don't expect to hear anything from church because when I come to church, whether it's the preacher or otherwise, I'm not going to hear anything that I haven't heard before. I thought, oh, that's encouraging. Maybe you think, oh, well, I'm just coming to church because it's part of my routine, it's part of what I should do, and I don't, and there's a sense of arrogance in that, isn't it? God can't speak anything fresh to me today. Or maybe you think, well, I can hear God today. And this is one of my pet things, subjects. But how many of us will remember what God might say? Will we remember what he's saying today next week? Do you remember this week what he said last week? For me, I find the best way is to write it down. Because I can struggle to remember what I preached last week, never mind expect a congregation to remember what I preached. And I've spent hours on it. I forget. But if I really value what God is saying to me, I'll write it down. I make note of it because I want to remember what he is saying to me because I value it. I had a real sense of impression in this message, and this is a theme that I've spoken on before and within our church, and we're moving in this for quite a while now, been challenged in this way. And the impression that I feel the Lord saying to me is that his church needs to wake up. His church needs to wake up from its slumber and hear his voice. We can get so caught up just doing the same things, just going through the same routines. We think in our situation, we're not having the same, rituals, formulas, routines that you maybe have in your first service and more traditional services. And we think, oh no, we're free, we're okay. But actually, we do. We've got this little order of service, just like I've been given here. This is how we're going to do it. This is how it's going to be structured. It's just different. And it can become just as much a routine as anything else. We can go through almost a performance. And God is saying, no, I want my church to wake up. I want my church to hear me, to be intentional and listen to my voice. Joshua, at the end of his life, renewed the covenant with himself and with the people. And in Joshua 24, you can read at verse 15, a phrase that is well known, and in many Christian bookshops you will see it on postcards or placards. I've seen it in lots of different places. And he said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think God's asking us today, who are you serving? Well, generally, we're serving that person whom we're listening to. If we're serving him, we're hearing him. Because we can't serve him properly without hearing him, what he's saying to us. Who are you listening to? Who or what has caught your attention this week? What is it that's going to grab your attention? What is it that's going to dominate you this week? What is it that's going to try to take over your time? Jesus is saying, I want you to hear me. In the midst of that, I want you to hear me. So to help you, as part of your takeaway today, I want to encourage you, make time, if you don't already, make time to open up the Word of God. Make time for him. Make time to wait upon him, to dwell in his presence, to meditate, to listen. And it's not how much you read, it's the quality of what you're reading, your quality of that time, hearing him. I find for me, sometimes a bit of soap helps. And you're going to go, what? It's an acronym, SOAP, S-O-A-P. S, I write it down. S, scripture. This is the scripture I'm reading today. O is my observation. What is this scripture talking about? I write down what the scripture is talking about so I get a sense of what I'm reading. I don't know if you're like me, but I can read through a whole passage, and by the time I've got to the end of it, I have no idea what I've read. Have you ever been there? So if I write things down, it helps me. For me, it's active listening. I'm engaging with the process. I'm not just going through, oh, I need to read my Word of God. I'll feel better if I read this today, so I'll read this and then I'm done. I've done my duty. No, I want to hear. Observation. A is application. Okay, I now know what the scripture is talking about. What does God want to say to me in that scripture? How can I apply that to my life? What's his voice for me in the midst of what I'm reading? And then P is turning that into a prayer, turning that into praise. It's responding in our hearts to him. You might find that helps you. I find that helps me. There's lots of other things you can do and you may do that helps as well, but that's just one simple idea. Perhaps we can pray as I come to an end of this and hand over to those who are coming up next. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are here today. We thank you that you have not distanced yourself from us, but that you speak to us, you speak afresh to us. We thank you that your heart is for us, and you want to continually speak into our lives and into our situations. And I want to pray for us, Lord, for each one here today, that we may today hear your voice, that we may today open up our hearts to you, that we may today take on board what you are saying to us. Because, Lord, we don't want to miss anything that you have for us. But, Lord, we want to step into everything that you have for us. So I pray, Lord, your blessing on each one, your blessing on this church. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.